Resolute Square.
There was also maintained what was called an enemies list, which was rather extensive and continually being updated.
Democrats want Republicans dead.
Where I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay?
The women with the least likelihood of getting pregnant are the ones most worried about having abortions.
On January 6th of 2021, you had tens of thousands of people peacefully protesting.
No, it's not a right-wing conspiracy theory. It's not QAnon. It's real.
I'm Rick Wilson, and this is The Enemies List.
Our guest today on The Enemies List is my friend Michael Cohen. Michael is one of the most deeply knowledgeable people of what the hell is going on in Donald Trump's financial world, and it ain't pretty. Trump is in a world of hurt. Michael is going to walk us through it today. But Michael, I wanted to start with the fact that Alan Weisselberg is today turning himself over to the prosecutors, and he is going to plead guilty.
Already done. It happened about 5 minutes ago. We saw him. We saw him at the court, and he had pled guilty.
Tell people what that means for Trump.
It's not as bad as what many people are hoping for, that it finally would have resulted in Alan Weisselberg doing what most people would do, especially when you're 77, 78 years old, and that would be cooperating, especially when you're caught dead to right. But he will not be testifying right against Donald Trump. Here's where it doesn't make a difference. His testimony in the upcoming Manhattan District Attorney's case is not relevant.
Yours was, though.
And it will be. But in fact, one of the beautiful things that Judge Engoron did when he castigated the whole group of Trump characters, from Donald to Don Jr. to Eric to Ivanka to Alan Weisselberg to even their expert witness, that they all were not truthful. But Rick, you know who was truthful?
That would be Michael Cohen.
This guy.
I know you have waited a very long time to make sure that this story of Donald Trump's criminality and fraud and deceit got out there. And I have to just say, I am impressed with your patience sometimes, my friend, after these bastards managed to send you to prison. And one time, just for trying to express your First Amendment rights, this really strikes me as the last 2 weeks for Donald Trump, the exposure of his entire empire as a fraud, of all these supposedly, quote unquote, great deals he's ever made that have been based largely on imaginary assets and inflated assets and the various bank fraud, tax fraud, etc. It all seems to have finally started to come home to roost for Donald in a way. You know, a lot of us, you in particular, have told us it's coming for years. Tell us a little bit about where you think he stands right now financially. I know you and I both know the guy does not have $100 million laying around or $400 million laying around to buy himself out of this thing. But the number keeps racking up day by day. Tell us how screwed he is right now.
Well, as my father, or I would even go back and say, like, my grandmother, my grandfather would turn around and say, he's of what's called gechachte tzuris. And in Yiddish, that means he's got real fucking problems. All right? That is gechachte tzuris. He does not have $500 million of cash laying around. And as a direct result, he decided that he was going to switch reality game shows from The Apprentice to becoming Monty Hall with Let's Make a Deal. So this ass clown shows up to the court with his, you know, with his D-team lawyers, and they say to the judge, Judge Engoron, I can't pay, or I don't want to pay the $500 million that's required in case you need to post the bond for the appeal. But wait, what's behind box number two? Well, $100 million, to which they said, yeah, thank you, but no thank you. That's not the way the game is played.
That struck me very, very strongly. It's like, does he think this is some kind of negotiation with them? because it's not a negotiation.
Everything for Donald, Rick. Everything for Donald is a negotiation. It's all transactional.
But these folks, Judge Engoron and others, they're and Tish James, they're not playing that game. They are not.
Why should they?
Right. They're not in this. They're not in this to make Donald's life more convenient or make Donald's life easier.
This isn't about convenience. No, no, Rick. This is not about convenience. This is about the way the game is played. You lost.
Right. Right.
You lost. The judge made a determination on damages. This, of course, being a civil case.
Right.
You don't get to change the rules because you want to be a future king or you think that you're a king. That's not the way the game is played. If you want to file an appeal and you have every right in the world
sure.
to do so, but in order to file that appeal, you are required to post a bond.
Yep.
If you don't, you're shit out of luck, or as we like to say in the legal profession, SOL.
So in his heart of hearts, Donald Trump knows he's not a billionaire, knows he's not as rich as he says. He's always a scam. It's always a flimflam. It's always a sort of Trumpian long con thing that he does. Is he embarrassed at some level? Is he shamed at some level? Or does he think the suckers will just still believe
him? Well, the suckers do believe him. I mean, there's no doubt about that. The MAGAs are so knee-deep into the dumpster cult of Trump. Whatever it is that he says,
right.
they agree with. But I just want to do. I want to clarify something. Donald Trump is a billionaire. He's definitively a billionaire. The question
right.
becomes, a billionaire based upon what? Are you talking about
right.
all assets, your gross assets? Well, that is one way to turn around. And a lot of billionaires turn around and say that they're worth $1 billion. They have a multitude of buildings that are worth X amount of dollars. If you take all of those buildings,
right.
you add them up, are you worth more than $1 billion? The answer is yes. However, there's a second part to this. What are your liabilities? We know what your gross assets
right.
are worth, but what are your liabilities? In Donald's specific case, he probably is worth about $1.2 billion. That's how I would characterize the amount, which is a
right.
shit ton of money.
Sure. And that's just the baseline real estate value of Bedminster, Trump Tower, 40 Wall Street, a couple other buildings here and there, a couple other clubs here and there, minus his liabilities and his mortgages on all these properties.
Right.
And they're multiply mortgages.
But, and that's why right. Judge Engoron's decision is such a kick to the nutsack. First and foremost, assuming that you're worth $1 billion and you need to pay off $500 million. In order to do that, and he does not have the cash for it, you need to sell assets. The problem that Donald Trump has, in order to raise $500 million to pay this bond, you need to sell $1 billion worth of real estate because there are taxable consequences on each and one. He has long-term capital gain. That's like 20, based on these assets, it's 23% federal capital, long-term capital gain. However, the assets and the company are New York domiciled. So you have city and state tax. That's another 13 and 8% on top of that. So he's 40% in on the sale price just in tax, minus now whatever the debt is on those assets. And you do not have enough real estate. You don't have enough assets in order to cover this $500 million debt, this verdict.
Support for Rick Wilson's The Enemies List comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable, all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/Wilson. That's odoo.com Odoo.com/Wilson. Odoo. Modern management made simple.
But you're right. I mean, the cult still believes a lot of this stuff. They still believe he's very, very wealthy. They believe he's going to make $4 billion off of this Truth Social deal, which I think is insane.
Based on what you see, but it's, again, it's based on what, Rick? Somebody says that it's worth $4 billion? Somebody needs to explain to me how a company that has lost money year over year, they have what, 15 million followers or subscribers on the entire platform?
They lost $50 million last year and had $3 million of revenue.
Right.
That math doesn't
matter. Not for $4 billion on an IPO.
Nope. Right.
Not to mention, right. Can we break this down one step further? The two individuals that actually started this, Andy Latinsky and some other guy, they're now suing Donald Trump because he tried to cram them down and take more of their stock. Together, I think they have 9-10% of the stock to give it to Melania because Donald's a good husband.
Oh, yeah. Really the best of husbands. No question. As this New York stuff winds up, he's not going to be able to get this money. I mean, to my mind, the Saudis and these ideas that the Saudis or the Russians or somebody's going to bail him out, I just don't see it coming. There's not enough small dollar money out there to get it together fast enough for him from the RNC or the campaign or anything else. That's never going to happen. So what happens to Trump when in Goron's order and Tish James says, okay, well, we're taking over your company. We're taking over your buildings now. We're going to start selling them. What is his? How does that work on him psychologically when that starts?
Well, Donald is no different than anybody else. Put yourself into that situation. You've been building a company for 50 years. Of course, it was his daddy's company that he shit it up.
Right.
But, you know, it's your company for 50 years. And now all of a sudden, you're seeing a death spiral to everything that you believe that you built and that you worked for. And by the way, he does have some truly iconic properties. Seven sure. Springs is an iconic property. It's a magnificent estate. However, it's not worth $200 million or $379 million, which is what I think he said it was
worth. And Mar-a-Lago is not worth a billion.
Well, the problem with Mar-a-Lago, and again, we have to stick to the New York real estate because in order to go after the asset of Mar-a-Lago, you have to take the Engoron verdict and you have to domesticate it in the state of Florida, which is just another time-consuming process that he will fight and that will take potentially years. Let's just look at his assets in New York to try to cover this. And there are enough assets, but not enough in my estimation, within which to cover the $550+ million and the $110,000 a day daily interest that the New York State 9% interest is calculating on in order to cover this with the 40% tax that he's going to have to owe on the estate sale of the property. It's a bad situation, and it will mentally fuck him up.
Yeah, I can't imagine there's a world where he's not laying awake at night, at least in some degree of panic.
And by the way, I take a lot of credit.
As you should.
100%.
As you should.
I take a lot of credit for that New York Attorney General case. Tish James was very kind and to credit me with this case ending up before the courts, which they did. Not to mention, of course, my 3-day testimony against him.
So tell us a little bit about how that testimony went. What was the story like in that 3-day period? What were they asking you that was information they didn't have? And what was your sort of feel on the whole thing?
The information that they were asking is information that over the course of the past 6 years has dripped out in bits and pieces. And you would have to be, you'd have to have like 160 IQ in order to remember each and every facet. And so what they did, see, I remember it only because I lived through it. So each and every part of this case was being put on display for Judge Engoron to make the determination that he did? What was defense counsel's method for defense of Donald and the Trump Organization? To continue to discredit me, to try to paint me as a perjurer, a liar, a disgruntled former employee, etc. And I believe that I was more than capable and competent in dispelling that notion, which I think I did effectively. And I say that simply because of the very last line of Judge Engoron's statement as it related to me. Look, let me go back for a second and say Judge Engoron's 92-page decision is an incredibly well-thought-out, incredibly well-written, and predicated on everything that went on in that courtroom during the month-long trial. And he finishes by saying, Michael Cohen told the truth. That, to me, was the vindication that I had been seeking. And it's the validation as to why. Don't anybody tell you how difficult it is to be a witness, even though it's not your ass that's, you know, that's on the chopping block this time. It is really taxing emotionally, mentally, physically. But this was the validation for me that my appearance there was not only necessary, but beneficial. And there will now be $500 million more in the coffers for the great state of New York to handle things that we desperately need money for.
You know, I got to tell you, the fundamental dishonesty of Trump, I think, is something that when you do read that document, and you see, and you know how clearly your testimony helped establish these facts with the judge. When you read that document, the depth of the Trump family's fraud and the fact that all of them are compromised, all of them are part of this scam. None of them are. There are no innocent parties here. There's nobody they're going to dig out unless they put Tiffany in charge. You know, Eric, Don Jr., Ivanka, they're all in this up to their hips.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's certainly what Judge Engoron stated. And I absolutely agree with all of the statements that he made in that 92-page decision. You know, but you know, can we go back to the money for a second that Donald has
sure,
to post?
Sure, sure. Yeah.
We're going to learn a lot by Friday in just a couple of days. Based upon the E. Jean Carroll second verdict of $83.3 million, because Donald has not posted a bond yet in that specific case in order to file his appeal. So we will find out exactly where that money came from. And that's a point that's not being discussed right now, Rick, that is so necessary. It's going to require the skill set of Rick Wilson and the geniuses at the Lincoln Project. I'm serious now. Because it's not just about him raising the money. It's more who's going to give it to him. If it's Saudi Arabia, just imagine hypothetically, and I don't believe it is. I see so many people saying, oh, but Jared Kushner, he has $2 billion from Saudi. He can't. No, he doesn't. They invested
no way.
In
no.
his fund. That doesn't give him the right to give money to Donald or to use it for anything other than investment purpose.
And I doubt he's got enough to pay Donald in liquid assets in that fund.
I agree.
They're not just sitting on the $2 billion. It's out there in the market.
Let's assume for a second that Mohammed bin Salman, who could certainly do it financially, decides to loan Donald $500 million to do these appeals. First of all, it's a stupid loan because Donald's going to lose on appeal, and then you're losing that $500 million anyway, plus. Now you have the problem of liquidating all of the assets. However, there's a multitude of problems here, more important, that people aren't even looking at. If Mohammed bin Salman did make that loan, and somehow, God forbid a million times, Donald becomes president of the United States, He's compromised as the president of the United States to a foreign country.
100%.
And why is nobody talking about this? What if it's Vladimir Putin or one of his Russian oligarchs? Now, Putin couldn't because he's on the sanctions list. So he couldn't get him. But maybe one of his Russian oligarchs that aren't on the sanctions list makes the loan. He's now indebted to Vladimir Putin. The United States of America is compromised by the president of the United States to a foreign adversary?
And believe me, Donald Trump would be proud to take that money from Putin. He wouldn't bother him for a minute because he likes the guy. But yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I had not really thought about the Friday thing. So he has to, when he goes before the judge on the E. Jean Carroll thing, he has to say, this money is from cash on hand, or this money is from a loan, or this money is from whatever source. He has to talk about the provenance of the money, right?
Absolutely.
I cannot imagine he's going to enjoy that day.
Look, Rick, as if you and I really give a shit whether he's enjoying the day or not. You know, it's...
Oh, no, listen, believe me. I'm not saying that out of some sort of pity for Donald Trump.
I mean, this isn't about Donald Trump and his emotions. This is about American democracy. It's also about holding Donald Trump accountable for his own dirty deeds. This is legitimately the first time that Donald is being held accountable for his actions, and he can't handle it.
That's an interesting point, Michael. This is a guy who, for his entire life, essentially got away with it and essentially kept building this house of cards taller and taller and taller on one overvalued property and one underestimated tax bill and one overrated loan after another. Did he think he would ever be caught? Was there ever any sign in your mind that, like, he knew at some point that the walls would come crashing down on this thing?
No. First of all, that's
too sociopathic.
Yes, that's the entire substance of a narcissistic sociopath. He also, however, to pat myself once again on the back, he had good people that were there protecting him. And it was easier to protect him when he was not the president of the United States of America. Remember, he wasn't, as the president of the United States of America, and somebody who is so divisive and has such great animus for more than half of America, like 60% of America. You had the entire media pool looking into these sort of things, digging up the things that no matter how deep you buried the bones, they were going to be revealed. And because of his divisive and his rhetoric, nobody was going to let that just skate by.
It's interesting to me because there really was a sense for a long time of the guy's bulletproof. You can't take him out. He's, you know, got all this political backing. But a lot of these cases, even if Donald Trump wins the presidency again, a lot of these cases are not going to be just disappear because he's the president. These state cases are not things he can just...
Now, Rick, two out of the four will.
Well, the governors in two out of the four will take them away on the state cases. But look, the federal cases, obviously, he'll kill those. Frankly, he's already managed to almost kill those by the delay they've gotten on pushing this thing back until, you know, the summer. That politically has been a giant gift for him.
Right. The state cases, he has no control over. He only has the right to pardon himself in federal cases. So here, this Manhattan District Attorney case, which, by the way, will already have been heard, and there will already have been a determination well before this November election. The Fannie Willis case, unfortunately, got another kick in the ass.
You've got to ask. I mean, look, I know Fannie Willis is very popular with a lot of folks, but I mean, you got to ask yourself, if you're in her shoes, bringing that case, knowing who these people around Trump are, and you don't wake up in the morning and go, hey, do I have any sand in my shoes? Do I have any dirt in my background? Any dust in my closet? And you don't think that through? I mean, geez Louise, man.
But it's not just that there became dirt in her shoes or sand in her closet. She's the one that put the dirt in her shoes and the sand. That's the crazy thing.
Oh, no, listen. Oh, no, I'm not defending her.
She is so competent as a DA. She is absolutely competent, and she could have brought this case to fruition with no issues. There was no reason to bring Nathan Wade into this picture, especially knowing that you're dealing with Donald Trump, who will search the depths of hell to find that piece of sand. This was just too easy for him.
Right. I mean, that was what I was thinking the other day. It's like, how did she not know what kind of people are around him? What kind of people are around Roger Stone and all the rest of these scumbags? How did she think she was going to get away with that? The minute I heard the thing break, I was like, uh-oh, she's done. It's over.
Well, I don't know if she has to recuse herself, but certainly Nathan Wade has to go. The problem, though, is every time that she's in the courtroom, that's all that people are looking at. That's all that people are thinking about. So the question becomes, does she step aside and let maybe the ADA take it over? Is Trump's people, of course, are going to look to, to dismiss the whole case or to move it to a different county, very much like what he's going to try to do. Guaranteed. Here, you're getting a prediction from me. In the Manhattan DA's case, he's going to look days before, if not one or two days before the trials to start March 25th, he's going to seek to move the case to another venue, claiming that he can't get a fair trial in Manhattan. That's what he's going to do, because that's what Donald's all about. Delay, delay, delay.
Yeah, delay, delay. Spin it back. Wind it out. Well, Michael, we are going to have a lot of fun in the coming months, because the suffering of Donald Trump is a gift that you and I enjoy sharing. And he's going to have a lot of suffering.
Can I, you know what? I never disagree with you, my brother, right? But I got to tell you, I don't enjoy it. And I actually wish that I didn't even have to be a part of this upcoming Manhattan DA case.
Oh, of course. I mean, look.
My goal is not to crush Donald Trump. I do want to see him held accountable, because something you may remember I said to George Stephanopoulos, I will not let myself be remembered in history as the villain of Donald's story. He needs to be held accountable for his own actions and so on. This is not, a Michael Cohen versus Donald Trump story. But if it was, so far I'm kicking his ass. You think maybe he should have continued to pay the legal fees? Maybe he should have, been a little bit more loyal and not try and throw me under the bus like he and Weisselberg and others did, Bill Barr? Maybe?
Well, I got to tell you, what amazed me is all these Republican lawyers from the Georgia case who were told, oh, Trump's going to pay your legal bills. I was like, y'all should call Michael, because he ain't going to pay your legal bills. Trump's not going to pay your legal bills. Are you insane?
But yes, my brother, we have a lot to talk about.
All right. I will see you very soon, and I will we'll have you back on the show very soon. And great, as always, to talk to you, my brother.
Rick, thank you, my friend. I'll see you soon.
Hey, returning to his normal place on the Pyramid of Enemies, the peak, the golden capstone on the Pyramid of Enemies. It's Donald John Trump once again in the all-time champion position. Because this weekend, Donald Trump is now out feeding the Republican base, trying to fend off the crazy anti-vax Robert F. Kennedy Jr. by saying, we would take away the funding of schools, demand children be vaccinated. So, once again, if I want to go into a social media rat hole, a boiling pit of acid stupidity on social media, all I have to do is say something about vaccines. Because the craziness in our society today that is now being fed by Donald Trump about vaccines is unbelievable. This weekend, what he's saying is we're going to take away funding from schools that quote unquote force vaccines on kids. You mean vaccines like polio, measles, mumps, rubella, chickenpox? Guess what? That's a death sentence for American kids, for thousands and thousands and thousands of American kids. Vaccines work. They are good. They are a absolute net good in society by far. The number of adverse reactions to childhood vaccines is de minimis. More kids will be killed by their pets than have a vaccine reaction this year. More kids will get struck by lightning than will have a vaccine reaction this year. It's absurd. It's a lie. It's feeding into a conspiracy culture in this country of people who do not want to vaccinate their children because they believe in insane shit that they see on Facebook and on social media. That insanity is being allowed algorithmically to be fed. to millions and millions of Americans who are going to end up setting a political climate where we stop vaccinating kids. And guess what? Then they start dying. Listen, I have a deal for you, Donald, and all the anti-vaxxers in the world. Here's the deal. Every parent has the right not to vaccinate their children, but they're signing a consent form that says, if my child dies of a preventable disease that would have been prevented by vaccination, then they are liable for manslaughter. That's it. Because these people are not pro-life, they are pro-death. And if you are anti-vaccine, you are pro-death, particularly the deaths of children. And that will always land you on the enemy's list.
Thanks again for listening to The Enemies List. If you have any comments, questions, or if there's someone you'd like to hear on the podcast, hit me up on Twitter at TheRickWilson. Thanks again for the wonderful support you've shown the pod. We're growing fast. It really helps if you will share this with your friends, your family, and anyone else who, like us, is trying to save democracy. While you're at it, if you could rate and review the podcast, I would be very much appreciative. I know this is the sort of thing you've heard a billion times. Please rate, review, like, blah, blah, blah. But you need to do it. It really does help us a lot. We are slaves to the algorithm, my friends. And if you do this, it will help get the pod out further. Anyway, thanks again for listening. I'll see you next time. And remember, whatever you do, stay off the list.